The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Welcome to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper with you. And both of us do things that are, you know, contained and in the Word of God and about the Word of God, but it's not all on Exploring the Word. And sometimes I, like this weekend, Jan and I get to go to Covington, Louisiana, and we're going to be there for a family revival. Looking forward to that. But Alex, you do a lot of things, and one of the most important things you do is Truth for a New Generation. And brother, I know it's coming up next month, so update us a little bit, brother.
Well, thank you so much, Bert. Thank you so much. And before we get into Isaiah 54, we do want to welcome everybody to Exploring the Word, and we're going to be in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. But Bert, I got to tell you know, I live for revival in America. And a big part of that is getting into the Word of God and scriptural authority. And we've been doing Truth for a New Generation. Now, folks, listen up. Coming up March 23 and 24, Greensboro, North Carolina, home turf for me, but right there in the middle of the Carolinas, easy to get to. We've got an event, and the theme this year, Bert, is Save a Nation. And we believe it is an event that's pretty unique. I mean, it's apologetics, Christian worldview. Homeschool families love to come to this. Young people love to come to it. Anybody that really wants to get a handle on how to understand God's Word comes to it. But the theme this year, we're in addition to hearing great speakers, Bert, like Josh McDowell, Todd Stearns from Fox News, Lauren Green from Fox News, J. Warner Wallace, the apologist, and a lot of Abe Hamilton from American Family Association. Great speakers. I'm going to be there. Kamal Saleem, counterterrorism expert, former Muslim, Kamal Saleem. It's going to be phenomenal. But here's the thing. We are going to get on our face and pray for this country.
Amen.
And folks, I want to encourage you, Bert, thank you for letting me say a word about it. And I talked this morning to some people from West Virginia that are coming. People from Texas are coming, people from Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky. But listen, the website is truthforanewgeneration.com, truthforanewgeneration.com. The venue is about 8 minutes from the airport. There's hotels. It's easy to get to a lot. There's going to be a big prayer rally the night before. And so anyway, March 23 and 24, we hope to see you in North Carolina. And I do want to say this, Bert, how I appreciate you and Jim Stanley and the American Family Association. We are going to be screening on Friday night, March 23rd. We're going to be screening The God Who Speaks, which is the amazing landmark film produced by American Amen. Family Studios. And so if you're a lover of AFR, as we all are, you'll meet Abe Hamilton, whose voice you hear. But we're going to, and the registration includes admission to the screening of The God Who Speaks. So, Bert, we're all about this thing, and we are serious about seeing the Spirit of God move in our nation this year.
Amen. AFA is involved in many areas of promoting activism in the political realm, the government realm, but the underlying possibility for change in America is revival. And we know that, and that's why in our mission statement, it ends that we aid the church in carrying out the Great Commission both home and abroad. And part of that is the revival that we're asking God for, a third great awakening. And so join us and join Alex and all those others at Truth for a New Generation in Greensboro, North Carolina. And you'll walk in, and I've walked in and I've spoken. There's a spirit that will just be a blessing to you. Besides all the information, besides hearing all these great things, is the spirit of the place. And I guarantee you, it just goes with the territory. Where the presence of the Lord is, there's power. Where the presence of the Lord is, there's joy. And so I hope you'll join Alex there.
And Bert, let me just say this. I want to encourage people, please, even if you can't come, I hope you can come. I mean, we've had people across the country to be a part of this, because, you know, Elmer Towns, a great scholar from Liberty talks about being a carrier of revival. There is a certain fire, and there's just a presence of the Lord that we take home with each Amen. Person, you know. But even if you can't come, please pray. And please forward the information, spread the word. We want it to go viral, because the only hope of our nation is Jesus, isn't it?
It is. He is the only hope. Jesus alone is our hope. Well, let's get into Isaiah 54 and 55. 54 deals with Israel's restoration. Chapter 55 includes the invitation to the world. And it was not exclusive concerning the nation, but it's exclusive concerning God. There is no other Messiah. You don't need to look for another. You don't look for a nation. You don't look for a church. You look for the person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And notice how Isaiah starts out, chapter 54, sing. If I remember right, and Isaiah, I've been trying to keep up with this. We've talked about David not being the only, I guess, songwriter in the Bible. Right. Isaiah, again and again, has these beautiful poetic words that easily set to music, and some of them have, but others. But he says, sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud. That's the whole idea. The restoration is going to take place. The enlargement is going to take place. All that they're looking forward to, God is going to bring about in chapter 54. And I want to skip down to verse 55 real quick, or verse 5, and then I want you to join in, Alex. It says, for your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Right, I could not help but look at verse 5. It combines what the Messiah does, the Redeemer of Israel, but also the God of the whole world. That's the very God that we serve, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. You know, it begins, it says, rejoice, childless one who did not give birth, burst into song and shout, you who have not been in labor. Well, you know, in the ancient world, childlessness was a very hard thing. It was a disgrace in some ways, and many perceived it as a spiritual, you know, judgment or something like that. And verse 1, and I'm going to come back to verse 5, but verse 1 says, for the children of the forsaken one will be more than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Now, Israel has been judged for sin. In many ways, they are a people in disgrace because they've been in bondage and they've been partially in their land, then displaced from their land. But like you just read in 4, you're not going to be put to shame. Verse 5, indeed, your husband is your maker. His name is Yahweh, Lord of hosts. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, called the God of all the earth. Now, how could it be that the children of a barren woman would be more than the children of a married woman? Well, it's speaking of spiritual blessings, the sustenance of the Lord. And really, I think this, Bert, and I want to say this, I want your opinion. The children right now, with more than 2 billion Christians in the world at this moment, and then billions of others throughout history, the children of Israel have outnumbered all the other nations, because ultimately this is not just people who physically, ethnically are Jewish, but people who have met the Messiah of Israel. Mm-hmm. That's how the children have outnumbered all other ways of calculation, because of those. God said to Abraham, through you all the families of the Amen. Earth would be blessed.
We're and Abraham's indeed, children, aren't we? It's through faith.
We are children of Abraham,
that's right.
If we know Jesus.
That's the whole idea, and that's what he's referring to. Now, notice this about the husband. You know, this is the restoration. He said, you know, we may have been separated, but I'm restoring this relationship, you know?
Yeah.
And somebody out there may be in a marriage, and I just want to deviate from that and use the example as a teaching lesson. It's not here, but we may have some people out there that are struggling in their marriage, Alex, and they may be even a separation. There may even been divorce. But I want to tell you, God is a God of restoration. He can restore a life, and when he restores that life, that spiritual life, that a person can be born again and They're, everything has become new. Things can change in your life. It can even change in that marriage that you've given up on. And so God didn't give up on Israel. He restored them, and here it is. He says, this is your husband. And that relationship was real to Israel. And then in the New Testament, it's the bride of Christ, you know. And God's people have that special relationship, whether it's the Jewish people or whether it's the church, there's that special relationship with Jesus Christ that can only be the metaphor, the example is marriage, a husband and wife. And Alex, Isaiah carries that out. Ezekiel uses it. Hosea uses it. It's one of God's favorites explanation of his relationship with his people.
Amen. That's why one of the reasons that we are so insistent on not allowing marriage to be redefined.
Amen.
I mean, for one thing, God's word is eminently clear on what is marriage, what isn't marriage, human sexuality designed by God. Only in a worldview where God is denied and his word ignored can you redefine all this. But one of the reasons that marriage is such a beautiful picture with which we do not tamper is because it's a picture of Christ in the church, and it's a picture of salvation. And marriage and family is an illustration that is really to prepare our hearts and show us the gospel.
Amen. Two or three other verses, because when we come back, we want to get into chapter 55. It's just so overwhelming. But just two or three verses. Let me read them, and Alex, you can pick out yours, or you can comment on these.
I bet I know one of the ones you're going to read.
Okay. I want to read part of verse 7. It says, but with great mercies I will gather you. Isn't that beautiful? Now, notice what else. This, with a little wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you. Says who? The Lord, your Redeemer.
Amen.
Verse 13, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Alex, again, no weapon, verse 17, formed against you shall prosper.
Amen.
And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. I mean, chapter 54 is not bad for restoration, is it?
It's wonderful. It really is wonderful. And you know what? You mentioned verse 13. One of the translations says, all your children will be taught by the Lord, and their prosperity will be great. And I think it could be rightly argued that throughout history, the descendants of Abraham largely have been quite prosperous. But it goes on. Verse 17, folks, think about this. Weapons, words, heritage, and holiness.
Amen.
I wrote
That's
these
it.
Down. No weapon formed against you will succeed. No words or accusation will stand. This is the heritage of the Lord's servants. Their righteousness is for me. The heritage and the holiness. And friend, you might not have a lot of wealth, or you may, but the greatest riches you've got is all that you have in Jesus.
Amen. We want you to know the difference in inheritance and the legacy. You may not be able to leave your children a great inheritance. I mean, that's a real possibility. But I don't care how much money you have in the bank or how much you don't have in the bank, you can leave them a legacy of following Christ. And that's that heritage, that legacy. And just like these Jews, the legacy was there. I want to say to us who are following Christ, we need to leave that legacy for the next generation and the next generation that we were following God. Legacy is a great thing to have, isn't it, Alex?
It really is. And the one that can't be taken away is our riches in Jesus.
You're listening to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert with you today. We'll be back with Isaiah chapter 55 right after this break.
When it comes to the issue of trafficking, it's not just girls that we're talking about. Truth is that even boys are at risk.
Oh my God, we'd be on the bed doing the wrong things.
In Mumbai, India, in the red light districts, there are young men like Najish.
I rolled over several times and broke many bones. This scar here on my forehead, this scar is from that night.
It happens every day, and it must stop. And it can. That is why American Family Radio and India Partners are teaming up to provide a safe house outside the city where young boys are rescued. With your gift of just $7.08, you provide a day of safety and shelter at a new India Partners safe house. Coming up here on American Family Radio, We're going to show you how your gifts can rescue a boy and make this new safe house a reality. Learn more at AFR.net.
When we became Christians, Dr. Tony Evans says we not only became part of a family, we became part of a marketing plan. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Corporations choose people to represent them, stars and athletes, to sell their products. Jesus Christ has a product. It's called salvation, and it isn't even for sale. He's giving it away. You and I are the ad agency to deliver it. The product of salvation that we offer to men free, and they will see its authenticity by our love. It means you're seeking ways within your human limitation. You can't go beyond what you can do, but everybody can do something for someone in the family of God, and you don't have to like them to do it. In fact, if you start loving, you may get the like. How can you love God whom you have not seen if you can't take the decision to love a brother who you have seen? So the way you know how much love there is for God that you can't see is what you can see. And if there's no love for the one another, there's no love in the heart for God. But if you're full of love for the brethren, it's only because you're full of love for God. God wants the aroma of love coming out this place to be so strong it draws folk in. He says, by this all men will know that you're my disciples because we love the person. That's what makes you real. That's what makes you the sales team for the advertising agency called God, God, and God.
Learn more about that kind of love in Dr. Evans' series, The One Another's, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Word of God speak.
Welcome back. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice, word of God speak.
What a perfect piece of music to bring us back to Isaiah 55 on today's edition of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, if you've got your Bible, turn to Isaiah 55. And we're going to talk about water that satisfies and bread and sustenance that truly does fulfill your heart. Bert, it's been my privilege to preach on Isaiah 55 a number of times, and I love especially Isaiah 55, 1 through 7.
Amen.
And I'm going to read verse 6, and we're going to come back to the beginning.
Well, let me give a warning before you do.
If
you're driving a car, before Alex reads this, get both hands on the wheel. Pull off to the side so you can say, hallelujah, praise God, after you read. Now, I say that truthfully. This, Alex, listen, this is, we talked about it, you know, how strong 53 is. 55, it's got a lot in there. So go ahead. I just wanted to give that warning because I know if I was driving down the road and I heard this, I'd kind of have one of my spells, as I call them.
Well, amen, amen. You know, Isaiah 55, verse 6 could be the motto of our show, perhaps, but it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. And that's what we would say to the whole wide world. If I could put that on a billboard everywhere, I would say, Isaiah 55, 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near.
Amen.
You know, there's a time when it's too late to seek the Lord.
There
but you can call on his name now. But let's go back to the beginning. It says, come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy bread and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Now, verse 2 is a really good question. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your wages for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, the Lord says. And eat what is good. Delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear. In other words, God is calling out to the world, listen to me. Incline your ear, listen, that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. And behold, I have made him a witness to the people, a leader, and a commander. All right, Bert, let's, before we go too far, God is offering us free, without cost. The poor person with no money whatsoever can have the riches of heaven.
Amen. What an invitation. And it's an invitation to the world. He's just gotten through talking about, this is what I've done for Israel. I put up with a people that were wayward, that went away, that committed spiritual adultery, and I've restored them to their nation. Look what I will do for you. I will take care of your thirst. I'll take care of your hunger, all this spiritual hunger, this thirsty. It's that vacuum on the inside of man that only God can fill. Nothing else is going to fill. And you're spending your money and wasting your money trying to find satisfaction some other way, and you're not going to find it. I think that goes back to Song of Solomon when he wrote that Ecclesiastes. He tried it all, wealth, fame, money. He tried it all, and he said, all of that is vanity. Every bit of it is empty, and it left me empty. The duty of man, the hope of man, is to follow the Lord and keep his commandments. Isaiah 55 comes across that way, Alex, and says, come and drink, come and eat, and you will be filled. It is a great invitation, isn't it?
Well, it really is. It really is. And let me say this. Bert, have you ever seen one of these shows, you know, where they'll go into the house of a hoarder? And, you know, I saw a show where, bless their heart, there was a family that had accumulated so much stuff, I mean, you couldn't even walk
right
through there.
Yep.
And one of the people had this compulsion to spend money, and besides, you know, cluttering up their house, they were in debt and all these things. You know, whether it's materialism or substance abuse or an anger issue or whatever, you know, it's very dangerous. The Bible says, guard your heart, from out of it are the issues of life. And we can do things that are mildly annoying to things that are just destructive. And the Bible asks us this question, why do we spend our money and our time, even squander our life on the things which do not satisfy? That's a really good question, isn't it, Bert?
It is. What shall it gain a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Alex, Isaiah is at the heart of the gospel here. He's sharing with these people. And I, to me, when I read this, I feel the heart of a pastor. You've mm-hmm. pastored, I've pastored, and sometimes, it should be all the time, but not all the time. Sometimes there's sheep, and they get on their nerves. But at certain times, the pastor just, God breaks his heart for the people he's put him to be shepherd over. Paul said that my prayer for Israel is that they could be saved. I would even wish myself accursed that they could be saved. Here, Isaiah's heart, and you've read verse 6. I want to read verse 6, 7, and 8 along with that.
Amen.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And you say, how could that happen? Why? Here it is, verse 8. For my thoughts, God says, are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Alex, I got a feeling we've got some people out there. How could God love me with everything that I've done? How could God really take time that he would want even me with all of the bad decisions I've made? He says, return to me, come to me, forsake your way, you wicked, forsake those thoughts, you unrighteous man, come to the Lord, return to him. And I love the last part of verse 6, he will have mercy on him and our God, for he will what? Abundantly pardon. Aren't you glad that we're abundantly, not just a little bit, abundantly.
And another word for that is fully, completely, thoroughly pardoned. You know what? I said the poor person could have the riches of heaven, but the sinful person can have the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
And you know what? We're not a little bit sinful or a lot sinful. We're sinners. And fallen is fallen. And the fact is, to go to heaven, you've got to be as holy as Jesus. And so God will give you that holiness. He'll cleanse you of sin. He'll impart his righteousness to you. And listen, when you've been declared righteous, you have been abundantly pardoned. Very famous, you know, verse 7, let the wicked one abandon his way, the sinful one his thoughts, return to the Lord. See, that's repentance.
Amen.
You're turning from sin to Christ. You're admitting, Lord, I can't save myself. And so there's got to be a repentance. There's got to be a returning. Return to the Lord. And some translations say, so he may have compassion on him. It's a guarantee. If you'll return to the Lord, he will have compassion on you.
And that's what it says in Hebrew. He will, not he might. Yeah. Now, I want to look at verse 8 because we get questions. You know, at the end, we'll do it today in the last segment. And people say, I don't understand. They'll say, I don't understand the Trinity. I don't understand the sovereignty of God and the accountability of man and how they work together and how it goes. I don't understand how God could continue to use Israel when they're like they are. I don't mean to be simplistic, but verse 8 does say that. It's because we can't think that way, Alex. We can't. Yeah. His thoughts are what? Higher than ours. His thoughts are beyond ours. And
right.
And if we had a, I want to ask you this, Alex, this is personal here. If you could understand all the ways of God, I'm not saying this, you just accept it and you respond. You're one of the brightest, smartest guys I've ever had the privilege of knowing. And when Alex McFarland says, I cannot understand completely the Trinity, when I can't completely understand this, how God's sovereignty and God's accountability work together, I know they do, but I can't completely understand it. Alex, listen, if you could understand it, would he be much of a God?
Well, you know, I really don't think that we fathom the distance between our intellect and the mind of God.
That's a good way to say it, brother. It is far-reaching, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. And, you know, I love the Lord, and it's both of us. We've been privileged to know a lot of very, very fine people. And, you know, people always talk about Einstein or something like that. But in reality, the creation will never eclipse the Creator. I mean, it's logically impossible. There can be no human, no created, finite, limited, fallen human that can ever outthink the Creator. I mean, we might know some things. I mean, take the wisest person you've ever known. You know, some names that may not be all that familiar, but one of the people who I've admired and read after was a guy named Mortimer Adler, and he was the editor of Encyclopedia Britannica. Brilliant guy, brilliant, brilliant guy, and, you know, became a believer before he died. But even somebody like a Mortimer Adler, who pretty much had the Encyclopedia Britannica in his brain, but compare that to the mind of God. That's why, Bert, I always have to sort of chuckle when I meet, you know, some agnostic who thinks they've, you know, gotten God in checkmate or outthought the Almighty.
Amen, Alex.
I mean, that's impossible.
It is.
God is omniscient. He knows everything.
Amen. And we want you to know, and the neat thing about this, and then we'll go on to verse 10 and 11, is that he chooses to have a relationship with someone like me. That
Isn't
is
that
the God we know. He chooses. He not only chooses, he pursues a relationship. And our God is pursuing a relationship. If you're driving that truck, God is pursuing a relationship. If you're at that desk, God is pursuing that relationship. Wherever you are today, God is pursuing that relationship with you, that this God of the universe, whose thoughts we can't comprehend, whose ways are beyond us, wants to make himself known into our lives.
He did. Let me chase a rabbit for just a minute. Do you remember in John chapter 4, verse 23, where Jesus told the woman at the well, the Father seeks people to worship him?
Amen.
Now, here's the thing. God wants a relationship with you. And you might say, well, why does God seek worshipers? Listen, even in the act of calling us to worship him, that is an act of love because, let me tell you, the most alive you will ever be, the happiest you'll ever be, the wholest, the healthiest, the most alive you'll ever be is the closer you are to the Lord. And so even in inviting us to worship him, God is showing us love and life and blessing.
Amen.
And you're right, Bert, God wants a relationship with you. And you might be reflecting on, you know, how bad you think you were or sins or failures or the baggage that we all accumulate. God wants a relationship with you.
Amen. Let me read verses 10 and 11. This, and when I read it, you'll say, oh, yeah, I've heard that. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Hallelujah. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
Amen.
Alex, that's why you and I are Word of God preachers. And I don't mind
try
that.
To be.
We try to be. If I don't have a lot to say apart for surety, apart from the Word of God, and the Word of God is settled in heaven, that's what the New Testament says, it will not return void. So what should Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, jail ministers, and pastors and evangelists, what? We better stick to the Word, hadn't we?
Hey, you know, that's the only thing God's promised to bless. And I want to tell you, you know, as an evangelist traveling, you know, we evangelists are guilty of preaching what they call the topical sermons. You know, five facts about salvation God wants you to know, or three ways your prayer life can be stronger. And there's a place for a topical message. But I will tell you what the Spirit of God uses to bring people to a point of salvation, what the Spirit of God uses to bring churches to repentance and revival and change lives is the Scripture.
Amen.
And to every minister, to every Sunday school teacher, to every parent, to every person, build your heart, fill your mind, make your message the Word of God, and watch the Lord bless it.
I heard an old preacher say this, what you do, you read yourself full of the Word of God, you pray yourself hot with time with God, and then you just get up and burn for Jesus. And Alex,
good one.
I want to tell you, there's truth in that, brother. The only thing that leaves out is living for him in the meantime. That's the only thing. And you live for him because our example can not, God does use vessels that have some dirt in them, but his word will go forth. But a clean vessel with the Word of God is a powerful tool in the hands of God. I read verse 12, and then we're getting close. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Alex, the joy that God brings in and the peace that he brings into our life, we've tried to say it every time we have this program, but that joy and peace is real for the believer, isn't it?
Well, it really is. It really is. And you know what? It's been said that revival is a repetition of Pentecost. Every revival is a repetition of Pentecost. God has more blessing for us than we could even dream up for ourselves, and he's got greater willingness to share those blessings than we could even imagine.
And he wants to share them with you. He really does want to come into your life, make a difference. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's our God. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. If you've got a question for Alex or myself or both of us, give us a call. We'll be back right after the break.
Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The House Intelligence Committee's FISA memo and Senator Chuck Grassley's memo referring Christopher Steele to the FBI for a criminal investigation revealed that the FBI knowingly used Steele's trash dossier to secure search warrants to spy on American citizens. We also know the Clinton campaign and the DNC not only paid for the dossier's creation, the Clintons actually fed false information to Steele via the State Department to be included in the dossier. The greatest threat to the American Republic is not external. It is internal implosion.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Women and men alike find themselves in despair after an abortion. Every woman who had an abortion was for a short time a mother, every man a father. But afterwards, they're all people in pain, anger, sadness, relationship problems. These often accompany an abortion. But there is hope. Call 866-482-LIFE. Your call is confidential, and you'll be talking with someone who has already been where you are and found the way out. 866-482-LIFE.
This is Tim Armstrong from the Worthy Walk radio program, inviting you to join us as we study the scriptures verse by verse each day, Monday through Friday at 6:30 p.m. Central Time here on American Family Radio. We will study the Word of God and learn to apply its truths to our lives each day. The Worthy Walk, Monday through Friday at 6:30 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio.
Hey, my name's Brant. You ever make a change and then wonder, why didn't I do this a long time ago? That's what's happening for thousands of people with regard to their health care. They're joining MediShare and then they're wondering, why didn't I already do this? For most members, it costs less than half what they were paying for their old health plan. There's a huge provider network too. You can customize your plan, and this is awesome, MediShare members can go online with a doctor 24/7. So if you need a prescription for the flu or something, it's so convenient for you and your family. So yeah, this is one of those why did I wait on this things. And if you don't love your current health plan, you're not stuck with it. You can join MediShare anytime. By the way, to give you an idea, the typical savings for a family, about $500 a month. It just makes so much sense. Check it out. They're super easy to talk to. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
Amen. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. 888-589-8840. We got some lines open if you got questions. But before we go to the phone, these 2 weeks, that last week and this week, we're involved in a partnership with India Partners. And that is providing safe houses for 8, 9, 10-year-old girls and boys in Mumbai, India. And you can be a part of it by calling 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396, or give online at AFR.net. For $7, approximately $7.08 a day, you can provide a day of safety for $50. It is a whole week of safety. And people are calling in. We've had people to make this and said, we want to be a part of that. And what a mission statement for that. They listen to this, Alex. I know you know this, but they get a safe place, room and board, a Christian school. They get medical attention, and they get the love of Jesus and Jesus shared with them. What a deal for $7.08 a day.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful, folks? You definitely want to be a part of this. Bert, tell them again how they, for $7 a day, can change the life and eternity of a precious child in India.
You can call 877-616-2396 or go online at AFR.net and follow the link about India Partners and be a part of it. What a joy, what a possibility. And so we thank God for what He's done. And this is one of the partnerships that we have at AFR. We are trying to carry out our mission statement. And the latter part of it, it says, aid the church in carrying the Great Commission to home and abroad. And that's what we want to do, and that's what we do here. So praise the Lord. Well, Alex, we do have some people that are online. We still have some lines that are available. We're going to get to as many calls as we have today as if we can. So Amen. Let's go to Indiana and talk to Jeff. Jeff, welcome.
Yeah, hi, Alex and Bert. I just want to first thank you for your ministry. It's a great blessing. And especially compliment you on the grace that you extend to the folks that are asking questions.
Well, God bless you.
I tried to call in on Friday. Didn't manage to get through. Just had a couple topics that I wanted to comment on that came up on the air last week. I am a Roman Catholic, so take that into consideration. One comment I think Bertie made on the concept of purgatory implied that it was a place for unsaved people to be forgiven of their sins and enter into heaven. And I just think that's a misconception, that it's more for a saved person who's trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, but has not completed his sanctification here on earth. So that when folks die, you know, someone like Mother Teresa, or maybe the both of you all, that you're immediately removed your attachment to sin. You're able to enjoy God's presence in heaven and go immediately to heaven. The Catholic teaching is that if I haven't managed to finish that process, that Jesus promised to be the author and finisher of our faith, see through what he started. And that's what purgatory is really about, is the purgation of that sin nature so that we can enjoy heaven.
Okay, Jeff, let me hold on and stay there if you got another question. If I misrepresented that I am, I apologize. I think I was a little glib when I said that, and I recognize that statement in according to my church history. But Alex, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Jeff, that would be the difficulty we would have as Bible, not taking anything else, 66 books, to find a place where that happens. We believe that God's blood cleanses us from all sin. And that when we get to heaven, there may be some crying because of we didn't complete the task. But we do go into the presence of the Lord immediately. Alex, would you add that? And Jeff, stay on. We want to get to your second question. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, God bless you, and thank you for listening. I really, really am honored that you would listen, and we appreciate that. One of the differences between Protestants and Catholics is, you know, on the teaching of purgatory. And, you know, I was thinking of a verse, 1 John 2:2 says that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know, one of the great things that Christianity has believed, and certainly Protestants do, is the sufficiency of the atonement, that on the cross he paid not only our atonement, but even our sanctification. And so you're right. Specifically in Roman Catholic theology, purgatory, we get the word purging, or purgation, is the completion of sanctification. It's not, you know, hell. It's the sanctifying of the believer. And I respectfully and in love, I disagree with that. I agree with what Bert said, that for the Christian, you know, all of our sanctification takes place here in this world because of the atonement. Now, for the Christian that is born again, yes, but has carnality that's not dealt with, I think that'll impact their rewards in heaven. Wouldn't you agree, Bert?
I agree, yes. And that, I think, you know, that's where we come from, Jeff. So we're going to respectfully disagree, but I appreciate you clarifying that. I knew that, and I was too glib in my comments. And sometimes on radio, you do that, and you can't take it back because you've already said it. But I appreciate your correction on that. What was your second party question, Jeff?
Well, just to finish that, you know, I appreciate you guys so much, and appreciate, like I said, the grace that you extend. Just one final comment. I think the difference maybe between the Protestant and the Catholic notion on that is that as a Protestant, you believe that it's that leaving up the rest of your sin nature behind is maybe painless, And as Catholics, we probably believe there is some pain and suffering involved to complete that detachment of sin, that those, you know, that suffering can be joined to Jesus' suffering. That's how we get through that process.
Okay. Well, brother, thank you. And we appreciate you listening. And let me, Alex and I, we've prayed about this, and we agree. Jim Stanley has shared it with us. We are doing our best in the United States, those of us that are followers of Jesus Christ, to unite behind Jesus and some of those differences that are separate us. Listen, if it's not going to make a difference in heaven, don't make a big deal out of it here. We do need each other. And Jeff, Amen. You're an example of a person that we care for and love deeply and appreciate you listening very, very much. And by the way, we love Indiana. Been up there, and I know Alex has, and praise God for
Love Indiana.
Love Indiana. We do others, but Indiana has a soft spot in my heart for some
A lot
people.
Of hospitality there.
There sure is. Thank you, Jeff. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Ann. Ann, welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, afternoon. I just wanted to say that that I took a nap this afternoon, and it was revealed to me why my life has taken a bad turn, and many troubles, many lots of darkness has come. I was at the point of thinking about suicide. Not that I've ever thought about that before. I never have, and I never will, but it seemed like the voice was saying, let me take this burden from you. And it's chilling. And I'd look at the river and I'd look at the water. And, you know, it's bizarre for me to say that now. But the trials, I feel like we're studying Job at church. And I feel like, yes, you know, I am not anywhere near as good as Job was to me. But I felt like I said no to Satan, and I said yes to God. I even felt like that God had left my life. I felt empty inside and dark. And then I said, no, that can't be. I was raised a Christian, and I understand that God loves me forever. And the things that you were saying when I walked in the kitchen and I heard you two out there talking, you were saying that the evilness in your life is to bring you closer to God and to study. And I just made up my mind that that studying God has saved my life, and that all of this rejection and turmoil and misunderstanding, it was for a reason, for me to learn the Word of God, to absorb it, to fill yourself, as you said, with the Word of God, with that burning, and then to go out with the fire in your heart. Amen. Not that you want to be an evangelist in the sense that you guys are, but I mean to let it shine
Amen.
In your life. And God is Amen. So real, and He is so powerful that I have even said, when people were barking at me on and on and on and on, get thee behind me, Satan, and turn around and looked at them, and you could see their eyes were black. You know, you see that sometimes in people.
Okay.
But I was right on the money.
Amen,
God
Ann.
Bless
Amen.
You.
Listen, God does make that kind of difference. And He, you know, it's darkness and light. That's what's so amazing with what God does. He is an amazing God. And the joy and peace He can put into your life right in the midst of all the darkness, Alex.
You know, I was thinking, ma'am, and thank you for listening, and may God's joy and peace just fill you. But I was thinking of Augustine, and I know I quote a lot of old, you know, names, but Augustine said, the heart is restless till it rests in thee.
Yes.
And I mean, really, the journey, and many people spend their lives on a journey, and some never find the destination their heart is truly hungry for, but it's in Christ, isn't it, Bert?
It is, and only in Christ. And you can look at all the other things that you would want to try. And I refer to it like the book of Ecclesiastes, the wisest man that we have in the Old Testament. He tried all those things, and he found them empty. And so come to Christ. Come to Him and Him alone. He will bring that. That scripture is joy and peace. Alex, those those two things that God brings into our life. I know eternal life. I love eternal life, that I'm going to be with Him forever. But it's worth to have the joy and peace that I have right now, man.
You know, standing strong with Christ and for Christ, even in the midst of life's storms, and there will be storms. I mean, you could be, well, I think about Billy Graham. He's a hero to so many people, ourselves included. He had storms he and Ruth Graham went through. Everybody has storms. The question is not, will your life have stresses and, you know, hills and valleys? It will. But what are you going to lean on when you're in the midst of the storm?
Amen.
Christ will never fail you.
He is the one. Let's go to Emma from Virginia. Emma, welcome.
Hi, thank you. God bless both of you and everyone listening. I had to call in when I heard Jim from Indiana speaking, and I was born and raised in Indiana. I was raised Catholic. At the age of 40, at Fort Campbell, I was born again. I struggled with things like purgatory and limbo that they taught me as a child through 12 years of Catholic education. And I'll tell you the one thing that when I began to pray and ask the Holy Spirit for understanding, because there was so much about the Catholic faith that the doctrine that I completely did not understand or didn't agree with. But one thing that he brought to my mind, and I remember, it still makes me emotional crying, but wondering about my father who had passed before me.
Yeah.
And he took me to the scripture of the thief that was hanging on the cross next to Jesus. He had no time to bear fruit. He had no time to be sanctified. He just believed.
Amen. Amen, Emma. Amen. Alex, I have a dear friend, one of my dearest friends, Jewish. His mother, just a sweet Jewish lady, right before the end of her life, with her granddaughter in her hospital room, she asked Jesus Christ to come into her life. And God, listen, God wants to save you if you're out there. I don't care if you're Catholic, Baptist, Jewish, Pentecostal, Presbyterian. If you do not have this relationship with Jesus Christ, you're missing out. It's not the doctrine of the church, not the Baptist church, the Catholic church, or any other. It is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Alex, I just feel led. I know Cameron, call back tomorrow and we'll put you on first. But I just feel led to finish this hour, Alex, pleading with people and praying that no one would slip out into eternity knowing about Jesus, knowing doctrines in the Bible, because Matthew 7 said, have we not prayed in your name? We said, Lord, Lord, in your name. We've done works in your name. And he said to them, I never knew you.
Mm.
Alex, knowing Christ is the reality of knowing that I'm lost without hope, but Jesus Christ took my place on the cross. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And right now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, wanting everybody to come unto himself, isn't he?
Amen. You know, yesterday we talked about Isaiah 53:5 that says he was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment for our salvation or our peace was put on him. So right now, very quickly, look, admit you're a sinner and believe Jesus, the Son of God, died for you, paid your sins. Simply say, Lord, I'm turning to you. Lord, please forgive me. Save me. Help me to follow you. And you'll be born again, born from above. Turn to him now. He will receive you.
He is ready and he is waiting. And I pray that you would come to him. It's been good to be with you today. Isaiah 55, Alex, it was as strong and as good as I thought it would be when we talked earlier.
Yes, we love Isaiah. Folks, thank you for listening. Please tell somebody about Exploring the Word. But most of all, what do we do, Bert?
We need to tell everybody about Jesus.
Amen.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.